The NPL show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Welcome everyone to the September edition of the EvoStick NPL show. Yeah!
Premier Division.
NPL, yes.
The
controversy continues about what we cover on this monthly edition, but at this moment in time, it's all about the Premier League, at least for the next 59 minutes.
We'll talk about teams that might come up.
Yeah, we could.
Right, well, aren't Norfolk's Vicks doing all right?
They're doing excellent.
And Glossop just behind them, they're doing all right as well, aren't they?
Round the table.
Rangers in the South, well, I tell you what a start they've had. Absolute league town, though. They've had a lot of injuries recently.
Well balanced. It's a shame you weren't this balanced last season. Anyway, so.
Should we start again?
Round the table, we've got people with opinions and people with views and opinion and views. We've got Swampy from 5 Live and FC Radio.
Good evening.
We've got Berkey from Radio Manchester and 26-0 when he can be bothered.
Home games only.
I've still got the end of my cold as well.
Have you noticed he was poorly during the North-East part of the month? We're three games. Was it Blyth and two Darlingtons?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, and you were ill all the way through. That's brilliant.
We've got James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group.
Amen.
From no fixed abode but with a camcorder, it's Alex McKenna.
You've been famed.
Yeah, that one.
Alex McKenna, hello.
Hello.
And we've got Stuart James from the Non-League Review.
Good evening, thanks to having us, Ben.
And we've got Stuart James.
I know, yeah. Put me last.
And we've got Stuart James from the Non-League Review.
Good evening.
So, Stu, I did come to you last. Where is Sula? Where is Aaron? Where is Laura?
Laura is
watching Man United. Aaron's gone Speedway. That is a sport, by the way.
Yeah, he's watching the Bellevue Aces. And good luck tonight, Bellevue Aces. We'll be recording this live.
Yeah.
And Sula's coaching. Well, he's he's in prison. He actually is. He's literally in prison. That's where he is.
John Flanagan's still in the TQ at Mosley as well.
Anyway,
Flanagan must be really pleased with the new episode and series on the BBC of Danger Mouse.
let's start anyway with up at the top. I was going to suggest that this season has become more random than an episode of Deal or No Deal. It's quite weird, isn't it? Up at the top, we've got Blythe Spartans currently.
Are you mentioning that because of the beards around the table there? Are you using Deal or No Deal because of the beards?
Blythe Spartans are currently top.
Yeah, but that's not a surprise, is it really?
Isn't it a surprise? I mean, it's more a surprise they got knocked out of the FA Cup so early, but no. Is that beneficial, Berke?
Well, they can now concentrate on the league, of course.
Any more?
Pound in the pot.
Well, they had a good win last night against Hyde. A bizarre goal in there, I'm led to believe, by a Hyde defender who punched the ball into his own net and then it still stood. Apparently, not that I was there, because I don't travel outside the M60. But Blythe, they're not running away with it yet. It's the same as last month. No one's really stamping their authority on the league.
That's because we're not even a quarter of the way through yet.
No, but you do tend to see a team in the First Division North.
We're not allowed to talk about the North.
That's a very good point.
Can I just tell the listener, there's no embargo on Division 1 North. It's just, we've got
that's
a structure. We're sticking with a structure.
They're doing really well, though, Blythe. I mean, what is it? 8 wins and a draw. They're doing fine. I don't think they're going to win the league, still. Oh. I'm sticking by my prediction of Salford winning it, who I'm guessing we're going to come to them properly in a moment, but they're certainly going to be in the playoffs. I've no doubt about that whatsoever.
Yeah, I think Blythe have had a good start, a bit of a blip in the FA Cup, as you say. However, they've got the pedigree, they've got the quality. It's a long way to go and travel, as Berkey's will never know. However, I think they've got the staying power. They're there at the right time of the season. You know, I know it's early, but it's good to be there. And I think they're the team that, you know, we're going to be going to have to try and... Is that Jim Rockford?
Hello.
They are the team... For me, that everyone's going to have to beat. You know, we talked about other teams, runners and riders, at the beginning of the season, but for me, Blythe were always that team. After what they've achieved over the last few years, they've also, you know, lucky in the respect that they've got a little bit of money in the bank this year because of the FA Cup run from last year. They'll use that wisely, you'd expect, and if they need to bring in players, they'll do so. But they also have one of the big benefits that a lot of other clubs don't have. They're one of the biggest teams in the North.
Area.
Of that in the northeast of England, they can count upon the likes of maybe Newcastle, also the likes of Sunderland to bring in players if they require to, even Gateshead. The name of the football club, the history that they've got, they've always attracted good quality players. The players have won very, very good football, and I think the Spartans are going to be the team to beat, personally.
Well, they were there or thereabouts last year. They just narrowly missed out on playoffs, didn't they?
It was the amount of games
which
that they
because
had. They had
of
so
the
many games,
games yeah. they had to catch up on. They're out of the FA Cup now, this early in the season, where last season, that's maybe what hindered them in the playoff and promotion push. Yeah, so this year, they've got the advantage where they've not playing that many games, don't have that many games to catch up on.
Stu,
and at the moment, they're leading the way.
Last season's FA Cup runs probably helped them this year. Like.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah, without a doubt, the money that they'll gain, the TV revenue, the prize money, it's only going to have helped them this
well,
season.
Well, yeah, most definitely.
As long as they use it wisely, which it seems like they
which
have,
it seems like they have done, yeah.
At time of recording, we've got Nantwich Town in second place. We're going to be discussing Nantwich more closely with Johnny Crowther from Redshift Radio very shortly. But we should have a special mention for how can I put this? Kevin Keegan-esque that team actually is.
We'll score a couple more than you.
Yeah. It's funny because at the time of recording the interview with Johnny Crowther, they were only 4-0 up in their match against Rams.
Finished
7-1, yeah. But it was like being in touch with Jeff Stelling or something with the score updates coming through. But anyway, 12 games played, 41 goals scored, 21 conceded.
Whee! Getting value for money there.
Value
though,
for money. Any more cliches or?
Well, I mean, as a team, I mean, Nantwich have been pretty underachievers for the last few years. In all fairness, they've had a different management team in the last season and this season. And again, they're a club that can rely on, and they have done in the past on many occasions, from young players from Crewe coming in. In fact, their old manager,
well,
Steve Davis.
The academy setup is now set up where that's actually happening.
Exactly, that's right. Steve Davis, the ex-manager from Nantwich, he's plied his trade at Crewe. He's not doing particularly well this season. They've only got 6 points at the bottom of the division. But again, Nantwich don't have a huge amount of other clubs around them, so they can pick up. They've got a great stadium. They've also got a fantastic pitch, and you know, they've got some good loyal support there. So it's. I think that we'd all pretty agree. We're all surprised. I would have thought, though, to be honest, we're all pretty quite surprised that they're actually second at this moment in time. But you know, 24 points, scoring a great deal of goals, and you know, sorry, the place to go if you're a groundhopper at the moment, get down
surprising.
There.
Well, I think a few of us said it at the start of the season that we expected them to be up there. They allegedly spent well and recruited well in the summer. And the building aside there, they took Daz Thornton from Curzon Ashton, Mighty Cozzylo's there. They've got the nucleus of a very good team, and they're showing it at the moment.
McKenna?
Having watched Nantwich Town, but one of the great things about them is they are completely relentless. They keep coming at you all game, completely. Our goalkeeper had to be on top form that day. And I think we beat them 2-1 with two goals in the last 2 minutes.
I've got to take issue with Swampy saying that they're a team who have been underachieving. I think they're finding the level still. I mean, it weren't so long ago they were in the FA Vars final. They're a club who are working their way up. And all right, they were sort of mid-table for a long time. But I think that was fair enough and reasonable. And maybe it is time now for them to kick on and start to look at the Conference North and see if they can establish themselves in the Conference North, getting in the Conference North.
I mean, it was
North
only a few years ago. They've only just really, in history's terms, have moved into that brand new stadium. They've only been there for 5 seasons or so.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Nantwich Town have got, you know, a big tradition and history. You know, that one of the oldest grounds that they had. It was a lovely old ground that they played in. They moved to the new ground.
Megaphone, though. Remember the megaphone?
I do remember the megaphone. But set up for you know, top half of the table, Northern Premier, if not Conference North football. And I think, really, the whole setup that they've got there, they've got a good management team in there. Their young players, their youth academy they've got, and the people that are involved in that. I mean, I was involved in quite a number of battles against them when they were under 18s, and they've got a really, really good youth development squad there, and the people behind them that, you know, a bit of quality, and they're doing really well.
There's never ever a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan just for mid-table obscurity. Have you ever noticed that?
Well, exactly,
never
yes.
Ever that. There's obviously as well Darlington 1883 there. Bit disappointing though, midweek, the result against Skem, and I think that's the second draw in 3 games as well.
Like they're lacking firepower.
They're not. No. They've got Nathan Cannon.
They're not scoring goals though. They've got the names up there, but they're not scoring many goals. They've won games, but they're not winning by massive scorelines. Like you say, they've drawn a few. And well, as of today, recording today, they've signed a striker Lee Gaskell from Ramsbottom, so yeah, maybe that, that's...
During this five-game period that they've had, they beat Ramsbottom twice, scoring five goals against Rammer, but they've lost to Hyde.
Twice, yeah.
And they've drawn at Ilkeston and at Skelmersdale United, one all in each of those games. And
two teams struggling at the bottom at the moment, in mid-table at the moment.
They are struggling, but they're also tough places to go and win games. I mean, they've got draw results there. In the fact they've got a point apiece for them games. But the third, and they're a good quality football team. From start to finish, they're going to be right up there all through the season. I know that I think a few Darlington fans criticised us at the beginning of the season, saying, oh, you don't talk about us enough. Well, we are talking about you tonight. You're third at this moment in time. I fully expect you to be right up there come the end of the season. And isn't it surprising you've got two North East teams, or one slightly more northeast than the other, because Darlington might not want to suggest that they are from the northeast. It's a bit further down. Is it more North Yorkshire, I think, isn't
no,
it?
No, in County Durham, I mean, well, that is a northeast.
County Durham actually in the past has been part of North Yorkshire, but
he's
anyway.
Doing so well. I teed it up for him to champion Darlington for a good period there, and it just descended into geography.
Well, they're no Jarrah Roofing, are they? Let's be honest.
Oh, it took 10 minutes. We have been mentioning Darlow loads, though. The thing is, we talk about them for about, 40 to 45 minutes each show, but Ben edits it out to about 45 seconds.
That's true.
It's not fair. It's not fair on Darlington.
In fourth place, currently, we've got Buxton. But don't be, raising your arms in celebration too much, because Blyth Spartans, Nantwich Town and Darlington are all out of the FA Cup. Discuss. You're not currently,
well,
McKenna.
We've got you lot in the next round.
That's true. All right. Well, not much longer. Anyway, go on.
One of the things about Buxton this season is we are incredibly inconsistent. We went on a run, we won one, lost one. I think it was four times. It was really irritating, really annoying. One of the biggest issues I have with Buxton right now is we don't have that killer instinct. We go one or two goals up and we sit back and we don't go for the win. I'm not sure, Swampy went last night, so I'm not sure if he...
Yeah, I mean, I watched Buxton last night, and
was
again,
there a red card in the game last night?
There was. The centre-half got sent off and a penalty ensued to make it 1-0. I mean, the first half was two teams battling out. They were playing against a team of 21st in the table, Colwyn Bay. And Colwyn Bay are struggling this moment in time with only 9 points and conceding a lot of goals. Whether they can continue is a different matter for me, because after watching their performance last night, and again, it was a good performance against an average Colwyn Bay.
It's like watching Jeremy Corbyn. Just get in there, will you? Get stuck in. Something so nice, go on, McKenna.
If he does that, I am not pressing this button under any circumstances.
One of the things like last season that derailed us was our loan signings. Our loan signings were pretty hit and miss. So this season, it's around that time when usually teams start to get players in. So hopefully, it'll be a lot better last season, because last time we got a poor left back from Harrogate Town.
In fifth place, it's weird, isn't it? Because last season, FC United was everyone's tip to win the league, and FC United had a dreadful start. And I think in the September show, I think they were about, 16th or something like that, 14th, 16th, something like that.
There's always the belief that they'd come through.
Exactly. Salford City,
from the beginning.
I mean, every week on Evil Stick Extra, I've kind of said they're playing, they're not getting the results, but they're fifth. So
they're not winning at home. They've got a pretty poor home record at the moment, Salford.
Well,
That changed last night, didn't it?
Yeah, it changed last night. They won last night against...
It's changed this week.
Yeah. But up until... All right, then. Up until last weekend, they'd had a pretty poor home record. They've done really well away. They've picked up a number of points, the majority of their points, away from home.
Stu did 114 on the bounce away from home, going back to last season.
I interviewed Laura last week before that match, and I basically said, out of all the teams playing National North competition, I think Salford had the best chance of causing an upset.
I was going to say, after the result came in, would you have seen it as a shock?
No, it wasn't a shock, really.
I don't think it was.
I'm pretty sure we're going to discuss Salford in later shows, okay? Now, I'm not suggesting that we're not going to talk about the next team in later shows, but Sutton Coldfield Town, currently sixth in the league.
This isn't the
season they were meant to have, is it? They were meant to be, just keeping their head above water, doing the old Belper Town.
We're only a quarter of the way in.
If you look at the table at the moment, this is where the league actually gets interesting now. Because you look at down to like 17th, 18th, you've got 5 points between everyone, realistically. It's only like the top three or four that you can see starting to break away. Everyone else, it's like everyone can beat everyone. and everyone are beating everyone. I know it's a weird thing to say.
From playoffs to last playoff place to last relegation place, there's 10 points in it.
I mean, I'll be honest.
Which is nothing at this early stage of the season.
Yeah. I mean, I put Buxton just outside of it at the moment. If Buxton start going on a poor run, they're dropping that into that. You can't really call anyone out at this moment, even with the FA Cup. Out of the 14 teams that have gone through, majority of them are first division sides as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking.
Shh. No, we're covering the FA Cup shortly because relegation's pretty clear cut at the moment. Yeah, it's not going to fill part two, is it? It's interesting, isn't it? Because one of those teams who I would suggest were down the bottom end of the table and surprisingly struggling was Hyde United, but started to make some kind of form in the league.
Not really. It's higgledy piggledy. I'd won the first game.
That's why I said some kind of form.
It's not some kind of form. They've won a couple of games.
Hyde as well, though, Berkey. Hyde. At the moment, because they've had such a poor two seasons, at the moment it's like when they do pick up points, it's the first time Hyde have picked up an away win. They're trying to break records that they've not done for the last few seasons. So every game's something, it's got something on them. Like the first time they scored two goals in a game, or first time they've whatever and picked up an away game on a bounce.
It is interesting, though.
Oh,
it is interesting because I think from a high perspective, as a fans owned club now, they know that's new to them as an entity. They need to start winning at home because they need the crowds. They need people to come back. Yeah. They've won four games away from home, only one at home this season, and drawn two and lost two. You know, so in that respect, Hyde fans really that live in the area, and also, you know, United fans and City fans that might, you know, because I mean, one thing Hyde do is play on a Monday night to attract people. They need to start winning more. I mean, when they do play, they play some attractive, good quality football. So, you know, if you get a chance to go down and watch them, but they need to start winning at home to try and get more fans and more money into that football club and to sort of like get them on an even keel, because we can't afford the likes of Hyde to be relegated. I know it sounds like, you know, every football club doesn't have a divine right, but Hyde have got a big history, and they really need to make sure that they're in the Northern Premier Division for another season at least.
If Hyde see the season through and all that, we're going to be fine. We're not going to be getting relegated or anything like that.
Hyde's form is very much similar to a couple of sides who have been yo-yoing in between relegation and playoff borderline. Workington is one of them who were down the bottom towards a few weeks ago, and Ashton United, who were up there as well.
Ben, sorry, I just wanted to say about Sutton Coldfield. This time last month, we were saying they nailed on for relegation, and they have surged up the table like a Guinness that's been put on one of them whizzer things, and
they're getting the wins that they need as well away from home. That's their key point, as we said.
I mean, it's
amazing
what Podcast can
do before a game, can't it, for Sutton Coldfield?
And
that's what's happening. They've be listening to you talking about them every month and going, right, lads, they've done tremendously well. They really have.
But one team I'd like to mention just at the end of part one. Of course, Frickley. Who else am I going to mention?
It's the only ones out of the top eight we've not spoke about yet.
That's true. But
well, Stourbridge, we're not mentioning them, are
we? Just fleetingly mentioned.
Oh, did it?
And congratulations to Michelover Sports, but you're being outshone at the moment by Sutton Coldfield, which is why we're not mentioning you. But Frickley Athletic do deserve a special mention, considering how critical we all were.
Well, they're a special team, aren't they?
I love Frickley.
Well, I'm going to say something.
I mentioned to the chairman, though, a couple of weeks ago, that I like them less now because they've got rid of the wooden benches and they're putting some posh seats.
Have they?
Yes.
No, they haven't.
Exactly, that's the reaction I had when he told me.
They haven't, they've got some additional seats.
Do you know that, Mr. Dando? Look at the reaction now.
They've got some additional new seating. They haven't got rid of the old seating.
No, he said he got rid of the benches.
The benches have gone.
They've gone. They've been replaced by seats.
We need to go find it out.
We need to go to Frickley.
He said, if you'd like them for your garden, Ben, help yourself. That's what he said.
Seriously? I mean, that's history. Right, anyway, let's talk about Frickley. No, I mean, I think I'm right in saying that at the beginning of the season, I said Frickley will do well this season.
You did.
We've seen that the goals are being shared around the team. There's a more of a balance to the football team. And when you rely on one player, as the likes of, I mean, he's not in the same... Well, actually, I suppose he's an only equivalent of Matt Letizia, isn't he? Gavin Allott, in that respect. That Letizia got injured quite a lot, but when he played, he was tremendous, and the whole team was based around him, and Allott was the same. When he was playing, he was tremendous. When he got injured, the club didn't do anything, and it was all based around him. He's now gone to Aquaforce. Is that a toothpaste? Anyway, he's gone there, and he's scoring goals. But Frickley, without him, are just showing exactly what a club can do once they have the shackles taken off. And it's good for him. It's been good for Gavin Allott to go, and it's been good for Frickley. And Do not be surprised if Frickley, mark my words, are within the playoffs, there or thereabouts. They could be the Rush Hall.
And Jake Hayes like is nodding in agreement.
They could be the
wow.
Rush Hall. They could be that team like Rush Hall have the last couple of seasons until so this season so far, been there or thereabouts, and they could actually surprise a lot of people.
I think going back 10, 15 years, Frickley were one of the teams that would be competing properly anyway, so it could be a case of them resurging back. You never know.
That concludes part number one.
Part number one?
Of this month's EvoStick NPL show. Coming up is an interview with Redshift Radio's Johnny Crowther to discuss Nantwich Town and to give you breaking news about some goals scored 2 days ago. And then after that, we'll be back with all things relegation as well as the FA Cup.
Oh. So, as we've just mentioned there in the magnet, it's goals, goals, goals at Nantwich Town at this moment in time. And to discuss goals, goals, goals from Non-League Live and Redshift Radio, we're joined by Johnny Crowther. Hello, Johnny, how are you?
Very well, Ben, yourself?
I'm not too bad. So that's directly from a tweet that you put out to tonight advertising your appearance on the show. You're not wrong, are you?
Mate, it's honestly just unbelievable. I think now, and obviously there's a game going on tonight, which I'm not at. Nantwich are actually 5-0 up.
Is it 5 now? I thought it was 4.
I think it might be 5 now. Oh, I think it might be 5. I know Matty Cottle has just got his hat-trick. I was reading on the tweet. So, it's unbelievable. The goals are just absolutely flooding in. And the thing is, they're being shared around the team. All the midfielders are chipping in. Coslow tonight, he's an ex-Stockport County player, only a young lad, 23. He's got a hat-trick, as I say, tonight, playing superbly well. Really is a standout player for me, and consistent as well. You've got Elliot Osborne, former Port Vale and Newcastle Town man. He's scored 5-4 of those from the spot, but he's been really impressive. You've got Lewis Shaw, who's scored tonight. You've got Liam Shotton, who's not played a full season. He's been a busy boy, got married, had a baby. So he's missed a couple of weeks of the season, but he's got 5 as well. So the goals, and Steve Jones, I forgot to mention, Steve Jones, former Northern Ireland international. He is 39 next year. Well, he's 40 next year, actually. And again, he's got 5 or 6 this season. He's absolutely playing brilliant. They're all just... The football on show is, honestly, you've got to come down and see it, Ben. It is brilliant to watch.
Ah, I'll come down. Right. So, when it comes to Nantwich Town in the league, when we said at the start of the season, who were the runners and riders? Obviously, Darlington, Blythe, I said Buxton, like I always do, and Salford City and the like. Nantwich was, based on last year's form, would have been a very brave choice. But what's actually happened? What's changed?
Yeah, I mean, as you say, Ben, we spoke, didn't we, earlier on at the start of the season, mm-hmm. and we said there was a lot of clubs that could be up there, and I still think that. The thing, to answer your question more specifically, it's got to be down to the players, because they've got to put it in and they've got to do it week in, week out, but I'm really impressed with the management setup. They brought Phil Parkinson in, and Parkinson is Nantwich through and through. You know, he's played for the club. He was captain under Steve Davis. I forgot to say that Steve Davis, who's at Crewe now. He really is a life and soul of the club. He's brought in Neil Savelle, ex Crewe Alex player, into his management team. They've also got Danny Griggs, an ex player, and Chris Parks. And those are the management team. They really have got things right on the pitch. The fitness levels. I mentioned it again when we spoke last time. The fitness levels are there for everyone to see. And they're grinding down teams, Ben. That's exactly what they're doing. You know, you get into 60, 70 minutes where we all know that's really tough and where games can be won and lost. And Nantwich are just going for it. And the fitness levels are superb. Also, another thing I'd like to add is the squad. It's a really strong squad. So when you look at the bench, they're replacing quality with quality. And that's really important. You know, to see the likes of Lewis Short coming off the bench, he's a game changer. He scored tonight. He really is an exciting prospect. You see Liam Shotton come off the bench. He came off the bench recently and scored a hat-trick. I mean, you know, if you're getting players like that coming off the bench, you've got John Moran, ex-Crewe Alex, again. You know, there's a real strong nucleus of players throughout the squad. You've also got youngsters. We talked about the academy, young Troy Bourne. he's not getting a game at the moment, but I tell you what he is doing. The Nantwich youth team keep winning in their cup games, and he is one to watch for the future. So youngsters like that as well, they're going to be the future of the club. And to me, it's really bright. You can tell I'm buzzing about it, and
yeah,
I am.
Yeah, it's exciting times, isn't it?
I'm absolutely delighted for the club, and it's so good to see that it's on your doorstep, and I get the opportunity to watch it week in, week out, and it's a breath of fresh air. I spoke to John Gold, the director of operations, at the last game when we beat Grantham Town 6-2, and he's just again he's buzzing. He's absolutely buzzing as well. He just thinks it's superb, and he just wants to get more people through the gates to come and watch it, because it really is special times at Nantwich Town.
Are you out for a league title this season, do you think? Is it starting to creep into the mindset at the club?
Well, I think when I spoke to the gaffer pre-season, I think he was very positive. He knew he'd made some good signings, but I think what they were looking for was playoffs. And I still think that's probably the case. Blythe Spartans, you've got to remember, they're a real quality outfit. Mm. However, we've already gone there. We drew with them 1-1. You could argue we could have come away with 3 points. We played very, very well. So the belief's there, and the belief should be there. These are good young lads. You know, we've scored 37, 38 goals now this season. I think it's a record. You probably know the stats better than me.
Oh, don't throw that at me. I'm not.
Yeah, there you go. I get across the whole of the way we're scoring goals. It's phenomenal, and that breeds confidence, and confidence breeds quality and performances and points at the end of the day, and that's what we're all in to win it. You know, that's what we're all trying to achieve. So, yeah, I think they can. But I also still would say it's still early in the season. Mm-hmm. I still honestly believe, as you mentioned when you interviewed me earlier on in the season, there's a lot of good clubs and they can beat each other. So, you know, game by game, I know it's the old cliche, but that has to be the way they look at it. Because, you know, you think you're above your stations, and any of these teams, you know, in this league will come back and give you a good game. They really will. So you've got to be focused all the way through. But hey, why not? I mean, we're playing some great stuff.
Well, Johnny Crowther from Redshift Radio and Non-League Live, thanks for coming on the show this month, mate, and we wish you all the best.
Nice one, mate. Thanks, Ben. Cheers, mate. Take care.
And it finished in that match 7-1. To Nantwich Town, just to confirm. So it's all the magic of radio, Stu, as you know.
I saw
that with the wry grin you had.
I think Crow has had a really good point, though, don't you? About
did
that
just
thing.
That
Jeff Stelling impression as well.
To be honest, I'm just too orangey for Crows.
So, welcome back to the Magnet here in Stockport. Very quiet Magnet. What's going on there? Stockport County playing or something?
Football match down the road, isn't it?
There's a couple of games going on, and they're all gearing up tomorrow for Meet the Brewers. They've got five female brewers coming in tomorrow. All the beer on tap will be all produced by women, and therefore, with a huge cheese night to follow.
Ooh, cheese.
So they're all saving themselves and bringing their Tupperware in, no doubt, to take the cheese home with them, as
plus
a lot of people do.
Plus everyone's on pool tonight anyway. So,
they're all on the pool watching the Speedway.
So, everyone's around the table. Read the descriptions to find out who's who, and just try and link the voice to that name. Right. So, we're going to talk about relegation now, and then we're going to slowly move on towards FA Cup territory.
Before
at some
we
point.
Do
yes,
talk
Birkin.
About relegation, I just mention Ashton United. They've gone on a cracking run, as I expected them to do, and now they're pushing their way up the table. And good old Ashton United. There, that's all I've got to say. First cross, it's dead good.
It is indeed.
Yeah, the pitch. Sturdy pitch. Relegation. And just
not
to say,
good for Rami, is it?
No one has ever been relegated in September.
Except Drolsden.
Yeah.
Is it?
And Hyde.
we're going to be discussing shortly. Ramsbottom United is looking a bit grim, isn't it? A bit bleak.
Yeah, change of
we
management.
We said this last week, though, last month.
Last week as well?
Maybe the pushing well above the weight this season, and maybe going down last year would have been for the best. This week they've had a change in management. Club legend John Robbo's left, replaced by Phil Edgill in time for this weekend's match. Mm. They've just lost star striker. He's just gone to Darlington. The signs are not looking good, are they?
Everyone said, though, who's seen them play, they play good football, the Rammer.
They continued on from last season.
They've a lot of goals, though.
That's the thing, the defence, unfortunately, up to it. They've got Dawson, who's got injured again, I believe, and it's just not knitting together for him.
Jensen as well, who's been their player of the season the last two or three seasons, is having an absolute nightmare between the sticks, it seems. You know, week in, week out at the moment, there's mistakes out. Mistakes. And I feel sorry for them, but I mean, I did say at the beginning of the season, I thought that they would struggle this season. We talked about them going down last season, perhaps the best thing for them. And I think Robbo, as much as a legend he is, and don't get me wrong, he was great for the football club, I think it was a wrong appointment because basically they tried to play in the style that they were accustomed to, and it's just going to prove really where they are now.
I think they just tried to keep the continuity with John Owen Byrne leaving.
I think a manager has to come in though, stamp his own authority on the players and on the style of football, rather than trying to take somebody else's, because we've seen it's not worked for him. And unfortunately, you know, he's fallen upon his sword. And you know, I hope he goes on to manage somewhere else and he can get, you know, to a football club that'll appreciate the kind of football that he wants
Cuts
to play.
Cuts his managerial tooth.
Not going to quite work at Robin's Bottom, and I think they'll be the first team to be relegated by Christmas.
The thing is, he hasn't
by Christmas along with New Mills.
New Mills as well.
He's not had the budget though. He's not been able to bring the players in that he wanted at all. There's extenuating circumstances there. If he'd have had the same budget that John Owen Bernard had, I do think that it would have been a little bit high. I think they'd have been higher up. I don't necessarily think they'd have been challenging or anything like that, but I don't think they'd have been bottom four. However, they brought Phil Edgell in. He said on Twitter last night though, after the 7-1, that it's pretty obvious they don't have the players, and they've got to have a total cleared out and just.
Do you think the club's now pretty much from a Radio Manchester perspective? Like, you do kind of cover them on occasion.
I cover them all the time. Yeah, I love Rami.
Have they really come to terms with the fact that this season's not for them?
It seems to be. They've got a loyal fan base there.
They do get a good crowd, don't they? And they've got a bunch of loyal fans there following them, and I think they're all pretty resigned to the fact that they won't be playing in the Premier League next season.
One of the things to bear in mind as well, and we just touched on New Mills. New Mills last season just went through 109 players. It's no surprise where they finished. This season, they've had four managers. You know, they've changed everything around. It's not working. Ramsbottom. And the thing is, we talk about footballers and players that you're bringing in. Well, New Mills have gone down the route of bringing in the management team with Azure Town. They just can't attract the players, and the players are going to be of a calibre, unfortunately, that aren't up to the standard. And I've got a feeling, I mean, Edgy might be able to bring some players in, you know, because he's quite a well-known guy. But at the same time, it's very difficult to get a player. I mean, they've just lost a striker, he's gone 140 miles or so.
Well, they have got a FIFA Gaskell.
What?
Did I read that somewhere?
You what?
No.
A FIFA?
A fee for him.
Oh, a fee for him. I thought he's going to be on FIFA.
I thought he said, has he got a fee for Gaskell? And I'm thinking, what's a fee for Gaskell?
Is he going to be a purple badge or something?
I don't think they know.
No.
If he's on contract, but again, we don't know if any of the players were on contract. If he was on contract, then yeah.
I might have just pretended to have read that somewhere.
And for more on Withinshaw Town and New Mills, listen to the Division 1 show we do.
Yeah, well, not from us.
Anyway, I've not started the Cheshire League show, just to say.
Oh, can we do another one?
I think we're feeling a bit down about the Ramsbottom situation. Let's cheer ourselves up.
What, with
Stamford? Stamford's conceding goals against record. Hey, aren't they fun? No, joking aside, Stamford are absolutely brilliant. And I've said don't change. Scored 28 goals, conceded 38. We should say, Ramsbottom have only just entered the 30s, thanks to that 7-1 defeat. So, how good are Stamford at
Not
the moment?
Not very. Well, no? Stamford... Stamford have...
Does no one like being entertained?
I love being entertained. The thing is, Stamford have conceded 3 goals in all games in the league this season, bar one. It's pretty obvious where the troubles lie. They've been scoring plenty of goals and all that. It's just that they've...
Technically, nearly 4 a game against.
Exactly. They've been leaking like... a very leaky thing.
They've not...
My bathroom, basically. When I fill the bath up and I get in it, because the overflow's not been fixed, has it? And it's all leaking through the ceiling.
Let's be honest, it's not to do with the overflow.
What insight.
Let's be honest. Stamford haven't recovered from moving to that new ground. You know, last season they were... They'd scraped it, didn't they? And they've just not really... I mean, they've not won a game at home this season, again. Mm-hmm. You know, last season, I think... I can't remember, you know, I mean, we haven't got a stats man here, unfortunately, but the amount of games that they won at the new ground was minimal.
It was one game, wasn't it?
They drew
on the last day of the season.
Well, it was, yeah, they drew against FC United also.
Well, we mentioned the fact that Rami have been cut adrift. No one above Rami has actually really been cut adrift. There's Stamford, who have got a, as you say, a disappointing home record, and
you're going to go down if you don't win at home, though. You're going to go down if you don't win at home and you can't win away.
That's very true.
You can win some away, but primarily, if you can't win at home, you're going, you're getting relegated.
Grantham Town are also down there on the same number of points. However, Colwyn Bay are only 1 point ahead of them, and they play two games more. So what does that mean for Colwyn Bay, Birka?
Don't ask me.
What does that mean for Colwyn Bay, Swamper?
I watched them last night, and they were disappointing. You know, they went down to 10 men. In fairness, but they were lacking something. They got two or three good players there, but you know, they're just not firing on all cylinders.
They've picked up where they left off last season. I predicted at the start that they'd struggle. It's proven to be. But Grantham, they picked up four very, very, very good points this week. They beat Matlock and McKenna, having a little giggle there to me left hand side. They picked up a point away against Stourbridge too. And interestingly, they got rid of Lee Unlove, I should say, has moved on. He's gone to Ilson.
Did he go? Now. He's now unloved.
Well, he was very loved at Ilson.
Hey, I like that one.
He's got on the score sheet from.
That's making the edit.
He's gone to Ilkeston, and he has gone there. He's scored from already, and it could have been another. It could have gone for another kind of Gavin Allett kind of situation there. They were relying on him a heck of a lot.
He's a very good player, anyway.
We'll also follow the trials and tribulations of Whitby Town with Andrew Snaith from Whitby Town Radio at some point in the near future, but they've not had the best of starts either. And then, as we said earlier, there's this group of teams from Ilkeston, Marine, Matlock, Skerne, Barwell, all the way up, who could go either way at this moment in time.
The thing about Ilson is they're obviously, you know, Strachan is...
they've had some good wins, though. Some out-of-the-blue ones, though.
Again, I think it's a new management team. It's a whole new way of probably playing. I've not seen them yet this season. I've not been had a chance to see them. And we saw the great quality that they possessed last season, how good they were, and losing the manager that they did. And really, I think, has been a big blow to them. And in that respect, it's not a surprise in a way they are where they are.
We're just going to draw our eyes to the FA Cup momentarily. There's been some cracking results of late. Abbey Hay, boom, one. Hey, gone. Aston United being 5-0, rightfully so. This pretense. On last month's show.
I'm an Abbey A lad. I'm not having this nonsense.
Yeah.
I went to Abbey A school, lived on Abbey A Lane.
You and your monastery. Off your pop. So. Buxton also are through, beating Amthorpe Welfare. Yeah. Congratulations to Bamber Bridge, who... did a bit of a giant killing act, beating Skelmersdale United. Mm. Barwell made it through, as of Chase Town. Unlucky Frickley, Spalding making it through in the all NPL affair. What happened with Rushall?
Rushall, they won 2-1 in the replay last night.
Whoa,
so
Rushall.
At least one team going to
they
the
beat National
final.
North Corby Town.
They did indeed.
Well
yeah.
done. Drolston a few. The last. was that that
Drolston?
Yeah, they beat Lancaster City, and that was the last game with Sinclair and Peacock.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
FC United beat Witten. What else?
You missed Northwich.
Northwich Victoria beat Hyde United, a bit of giant killing there. Unlucky Kendall Town. What happened with Marine?
Marine.
1-3-2.
Taking it to the Northern League. Pow. Rugby Town have made it through as well, representing Division 1 South in the next round.
Bottom of it as well.
We mentioned Salford City earlier. Bursko.
Yeah,
Bursko, beating Spennymoor Town. Stourbridge are also through as well. And what does that mean, folks?
We've got 14 in the third qualifying.
We've got
round.
How many did we have last year?
Four.
We had about nine at this point, I think.
So we're doing better than last year. Alan Alcott must be sitting there at MPL Towers, rubbing his hands together.
The draw's not been kind at all. We've got Kettering to play against.
You've got Kettering?
Kettering.
Wow. Let's discuss these ties now. Right? Okay. Let's discuss these ties now. Harrogate Town of the National North. Bursko have got a goal
up
there.
The Bursko. Next. Harrogate have come on leaps and bounds this season. They've got a massive, absolutely ridiculous playing budget. It's a conference standard playing budget. When I played against them last year, they had a fella sitting on the bench who was...
When you played against them?
They had a player sitting on the bench who was basically earning more than the rest of the hard squad put together. Near enough, but not quite.
Yeah, but they don't sell squirrel pies.
They don't sell squirrel pies, and that's why I hired the best team in the world.
Salford City, the conquerors of Curzon, have got a very winnable match against Bradford Park Avenue, in my humble opinion, at Moor Lane.
That'd be a good game. That would be a very good game.
I think they're the kind of games that Salford actually enjoy. The kind of games that, you know, they say, right, we, you know, because we want to, we know where they want to be. They want to be in the Conference North next season, and they can pit themselves against a team that, you know, a conference team.
They'll have people watching out for them and stuff like that, because they're violent, like we were saying.
But it's definitely winnable. Definitely winnable for them.
We are guaranteed a side in the fourth qualifying round in the next tie, because Stourbridge are going to play Rushall Olympic in an all Midland affair.
Tasty.
FC United, he's Buxton.
I'm looking forward to that game.
Ah, man.
Who's on FC United? Well, isn't there a thing between FC United and Buxton where the home team never wins?
There is, yes.
2-1, isn't it? 2-1 to Buxton.
Yeah. And to be fair, I did set the Division 1 show with Simo.
I don't know. We don't know.
If Titchener had scored that goal, that one way it hit the post, late on in the first half when it was still 1-0 to Witten, result could have been very different.
It could have been, yeah. I mean, the Buxton away to FC United Sunday, 3 o'clock kickoff now.
Is it a Sunday?
It's a Sunday, yeah.
I can go to it.
Why couldn't it have been a Friday? Friday. Yeah. Anyway, just moving on. Marine are going to play Northwich Victoria. Northwich Victoria, you've got to be...
Home or away?
Marine are at home.
Northwich will win that.
So there's going to be two guaranteed MPL sides in the four qualifying.
Northwich at the moment are absolutely flying, and you know, they
unbeaten, aren't they? One of the games.
Clitheroe beat them last week 2-0. But they've got a very good squad there, very good team, a manager that knows, you know, a lot about the game. He's been played at the very top. And Northwich this season are doing very, very well.
Yes. Just to point out, Clitheroe there, centre half Greg Graham had to retire because of injury. He was Greg Anderson.
Are you joking? Is it really?
He said because he had played at Buxton for a few years. He was captain. He was an absolutely brilliant player for us. So I just want to wish him all the best.
I'm sure he'll be listening.
I saw him wrestle Super Scotty Spencer to the ground when he was playing
at Bellevue.
I've never seen a centre half like it. He's the most physical man of all time.
What's Chase Deacon, mate?
Chase Town of Division 1 South are hosting Stalybridge Celtic of the National North. Barwell are hosting Kings Lynn in a classic NPL versus Southern Football League.
Come on, Barwell.
Barwell for the win!
Good. Drawlston are hosting Gainsborough Trinity.
I know Drawlston are struggling, but I think they could actually do something there, because Gainsborough, as Tom Snee likes to say, are very unpredictable. They can be the best team in the world or the worst team.
Gainsborough are a big team in the world. Gainsborough are a big game team. Oh, that sounded all rubbish, didn't it?
Gainsborough will win that game.
Spalding United are travelling to Sporting Calza. Brackley Town are hosting Rugby Town.
We need Sporting Calza to go through.
Why?
Because with a name like that, they have to carry on. Simple as that.
Bamber Bridge, though, are travelling to Kettering Town. Now, Kettering Town on Saturday got beat 4-0 by a team who were 17th in the league, in the Southern League.
Still, Kettering's still a big name in the long league world. After the collapse, everyone's looking at them.
Not as big as this name. Ashton United are travelling to AFC Rushton Diamonds.
Well. Yes, Ashton will win it, no doubt. Despite the name of AFC Rushton Diamond,
they are a step four side, in the Southern League. But we're guaranteed two sides in the fourth qualifying round. How many more do you think are going to make it through?
Six.
Six, including the two we've got?
Yep.
Seven, including Buxton.
No, you go now.
I think
it should be Mackliff.
I've got to say we'll get at least one through the first round.
AFC Liverpool.
At least one, maybe two.
Just to talk about the teams who could make it through. Salford City, we reckon, against Bradford Park Avenue.
I'd like to think so.
Spalding, I reckon.
Spalding against Sporting Calza. Ashton will do it against AFC Rushing Diamonds. Yeah. Bamber Bridge have got to feel confident against Kettering, I think.
50-50 that one.
It's definitely a long way to go, though, isn't it?
They could share. It's not that far, you know.
They could share a taxi with Ashton.
It's on the way. I mean, it's probably further to go to Darlington.
Do you want to say one thing, though?
And that is why we'll never win awards. Go on, anyway.
I am very, very disappointed this year, because there is no bracket of death.
Right. So,
after this podcast, there's going to be a few deaths.
And that concludes part number two of the Evo Stick NPL show.
Fist!
But from everyone here at the Magnet, we'll be back very shortly with this weekend's fixtures and any other business. Yay!
Fantastic adhesive this sticks like from Evo Stick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong.
And it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the Evo Stick League this year?
The Evo Stick League?
Yeah, Evo Stick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You'd better put some sticks like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks like adhesive from Evo Stick. Proud sponsors of the Evo Stick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new Evo Stick app.
Welcome back to part number 3 of September's edition of the Evo Stick MPL show.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Before the winter actually starts and everyone starts getting ill and people start dropping out, we've decided to drop out early. So we've got Swampy from 5 Live and FC Radio.
Good evening.
We've got Michael Flatley here doing his little tap dance. Stop hitting the table, McKenna. We've got Ian Burkey from Radio Manchester and 26-0 when he can be bothered.
Hello.
We've got James Hayes from the MPL Facebook group, which you can get involved with at
facebook.com/groups/MPL, on Twitter at the MPL group, and periodically on Periscope.
We've got this month's Roy Sewell of No Fixed Abode. We've got Alex McKenna.
GroundhopTV.com.
GroundhopTV.com. Have you just launched something live on it?
No.
Well,
it's on.
I'm proud to be your springboard.
One man in his camera.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's pretty much what it is. It's been on for like 2 weeks now.
Going round the South Yorkshire League. Here he is. And from the non-league review, it's Mr. Non-League himself. It's Stuart James. So, right. So,
leave that in.
It's now time to review preview this weekend's fixtures. And how should we do this? Should I just pick out the ones that...
Let's start from the top and read
let's
through.
Start, yeah, let's do it alphabetically. Good. Glad you're here.
Before you say it, can I just say?
Yes.
Relegation, 6-pointer.
Good. That's the kind of professionalism that's missing from this. You should present this, not me.
I probably should, shouldn't I?
Colwyn Bay against Stamford. Boom. I believe people are calling that a relegation 6-pointer, everyone. Anyone?
It's a bit too early to be calling it a relegation 6-pointer. We're only in September. We're not even a quarter of the way through the season.
Should I tell you why it's not going to be a relegation 6-pointer? Because Colwyn Bay will walk it. Stamford are in all kinds of disarray at the moment.
It's one for your goals galore coupon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it's
that's,
not
that's becoming his catchphrase, that. I like that. Go on.
When a manager leaves, sometimes you see that it, you know, it coalesces a side and they just come together a little bit more. But in Stamford's case, it hasn't happened. They lost in the FA Cup against a team who were Division 2
they
below.
Drew 3-3 against...
Let me point this one out to you.
Who was it? Midweek.
That's a good point, but ignore that.
Let me point this one out to you.
I don't think there was a point made at all. He said something,
Excuse me. I have a cracking point to make.
They were 2-1 down.
Which is going to make me sound like a proper football person. Right?
Especially when
you ready for this?
Well,
now, Colwyn Bay have only scored 12 goals. Stamford, 12 games in that. So they've scored a goal a match. And they've conceded 21. Stamford are going to score in that match, I'm going to suggest. And not concede as many as they normally do.
Yeah, it's good. Point, Ben.
Thank you.
Enjoy this podcast.
It used to be great, didn't it?
We've got Darlington 1883 against Marine. Now,
Marine will be buoyed by their midweek trip up north, where they came back 3-2 winners on aggregate after extra time in the FA Cup.
So, what's it like to repeatedly go back and forth to the northeast, Burke? But what do you reckon for that one? Darlington have got to win that, really, haven't they? Because they've started to stumble a bit, and it's not going to be easy.
I'll put a Darlow win on my coupon.
I would be putting a Darlow win.
We've got Frickley Athletic against Salford, which who knew was going to be like some kind of weird playoff battle at this point in time.
Salford, they've turned the corner. Well, I say turn the corner, they could always see the corner, couldn't they? It's just that they weren't quite doing it. Home, away, 1-14
well,
on the spin.
The pitch is that big, you probably can't see all the corners.
It's a massive pitch, it's great, isn't it? But Salford, fully expect them to pick up 3 points.
I'm going to go for a Frickley win.
Grantham Town against Blythe Spartans. It's an easy one for Blythe, isn't it?
Whoa.
No. You see, no, you used to... This is what I want, you see, this kind of weird left-field thinking.
No, it's not left-field at all.
It is.
Well, Grantham are going to beat...
No, I'm not saying they're going to beat him. I'm saying they're going to give him a better game than people realise. I don't think it's going to be 4-5-0 or anything like that. I can see it being a very tight game. Yeah, maybe 2-3. Might only be one goal, innit? Either way.
No, you're saying 2-3, not 2-3.
All right, yeah, fair point. Grantham can win that. I don't necessarily think they will win. In fact, I don't think they will. But they're going to give them a better game than people give them credit for. There you are.
This guy's on the worst proper BBC radio.
That's incredible, isn't it?
That was probably one of the worst bits of spin I've ever heard. You spun it round that much, you came back on yourself and kicked yourself on the backside.
They'll have exhausted themselves. What? They'll have exhausted themselves beating the Mighty Hyde United.
Blythe will win that game.
Hillsborough in town against Whitby Town. Whitby Town have got to start winning soon, haven't they?
That's a draw.
But is that the kind of place you go to win? Hillsborough in?
It's a score at the moment. None of them seem to start winning. They're going to get broken
away.
It's a
score draw, Ben.
Now, Hyde United are hosting Stourbridge in Berkey's first match in a month.
Easy self. I was there the day.
So,
yeah, but no one else was.
Stourbridge have started to rise up the table now.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Hyde United are rising up the table in their own little way.
No.
You have. You were where Colwyn Bay were a couple of weeks ago.
Fair point.
Yeah. So we've also got Ilkeston against Nantwich Town. And
ooh, and that's game of the day for me.
Game of the
fully
day.
Agreed.
Yeah.
We're saying that though, but Ilkeston.
Ilson.
Are they the team suggests at this moment in time?
Nantwich, for me, Nantwich will go there and Nantwich will beat them. Ilkeston at the moment, not on real good form, which pains me to say that because they've got a clock tower. And any club that's a clock tower deserves to win games of football.
This team don't have a clock tower, but they have a fantastic view of a castle. It's Matlock Town against Ashton United, and we're going to go over to our Peak District correspondent now. Well, for now. Alex McKenna, what do you reckon? Matlock Town against Ashton United?
Matlock haven't won in September at all, so it'd be interesting to see Ashton.
Well, it's October now. They'll put that to bed. I think Matlock will beat them.
Now, Ramsbottom United against Barwell.
Unfortunately, I think Rami are going to lose that one. They're going to be going through a period of transition.
It's a mid-table delight at Rushall on Saturday. Rushall Olympic against Skelmersdale United. In what many correspondents are saying. Yeah.
Okay. Richard Sneakers, he's doing me swampy now.
And we've got Sutton Coldfield Town against Buxton, which I'm going to suggest could be tricky.
I was going to say it's because Sutton are on a good run. Buxton are rather inconsistent at the moment, so it'd be interesting which side turns up.
I think Buxton will beat Sutton Coldfield. The pace of Hardy, a really fast pitch, and that'll suit Buxton. So I fancy Buxton to do a job there, to be honest.
And lastly, on Saturday, we've got Workington against Michelova Sports in what is potentially going to be
a long journey for one team
or another. And how did Michelova play? Are they the team I'm thinking in my mind?
They've got a lot of pace going forward, but they've got some wingers who charge heads down and they get to the final third and that's it. They completely panic and do the wrong. Incredible, the right winger, he got into a really dangerous position against Hyde. He had a centre forward there just waiting to tap the ball in the net. Instead of just passing it across him, he smacked it at him from about 5 yards and he knocked him over.
And James.
Yeah, I was going to say quickly, Michelova, they've got a good reserve in the form of their academy league this year because they've got a good squad of about 30 players. To the point where
they've got two teams, haven't they?
Exactly, they've been allowed to field two teams this year, and I think both of them won in the first round of fixtures in the Academy League today as well.
And just to say, the FA Trophy preliminary round is kicking off this weekend as well, involving Step 4 sides of most leagues and a bit of Step 5s as well occasionally.
One game springs out to me here, Clitheroe versus Stocksbridge Park Steel. I reckon that is going to be an absolute stonker, that one.
There's a dinger of a game.
There's also Rushton and Diamonds against Basford United, which I think could be quite good. Belper Town
never heard of them.
They're now managerless, and they've got Market Drayton Town.
Blossop versus Spennymoor. What a good game that's going to be.
We've also got Kendall Town against Scarborough. Lancaster City, who are now managerless as well. They've got Northwich Victoria.
There has been a giant axe.
Whee! Vixel smash him.
Anything else that sticks out?
Mostly the Addicate.
Newcastle Town against Spalding, I think, could be a good game.
For Leek Town as well, I mean, Leek Town, again, we were just talking about them earlier on, they've had a lot of injuries this season. That'd be a welcome relief for them to get a cup game out of the way. Lincoln United.
Just to say as well, this is the chance that we've all been promising T-Got throughout the last week or so. Radcliffe Borough against Drawsden is also a match. It's a bit of a Manchester derby. What do you reckon?
Where Drawsden are playing at the moment, I reckon we've got a chance. I'll be honest with you, this is the best Radcliffe team I've seen in 10 years.
I'm going to say Witton Albion against Ossett Albion is also going to be one to watch as well. And on Sunday, Shore Lane Aquaforce are playing New Mills.
On Sunday?
On Sunday, yeah.
Oh,
and St Ives are playing Rugby Town. And that concludes
this
week.
That's Cornwall! That's ridiculous! I had some pasties delivered this morning from Penzance. It was fantastic.
It's Rugby Town, though. It's not that far for rugby, surely.
What?
It's far enough, but it's not. It's no different to going to King's Lynn for Barnwell.
Oh, no,
is
there's
it?
A different set. There's a St. Ives in Cambridgeshire.
And that concludes the fixture preview. And it's now time to go over to the NPL Facebook group Wall of Shame. What have you been asking?
Right, tonight, I basically asked the same as what you asked tonight, Ben. What's looking like one of the closest seasons going into
it's easy
it.
Easy for you to say that.
Yep. basically, who's.
Fuck, did you start that again? What did he say?
Basically, the same as what Ben's asked us lot tonight.
Well, we asked us Ben tonight.
A series of questions.
Alright.
Is it going to be the closest season?
So Ben's asked exactly the same questions that have been asked to the fans.
Thing is, I asked this at 1 o'clock this afternoon, so.
Ben's just copying your ideas, okay. Basically.
Anyway, going into the winter, is this going to be one of the closest seasons we've seen for quite a while? Who's shocked you so far and who could push forward from where they are at the moment? So, a couple of people I've spoken to. Lloyd Berry.
From Warrington.
One from Warrington. Overachievers so far are Kendall, considering the defence record from last season. And underachievers, Witton, who he thought would be near the top by now. Darren Hesketh, don't rule out Bamber Bridge.
I'm not going to.
Don't rule them out, everyone.
Yeah, nice.
Stay away from the bridge.
Gordon Williams, he thinks Clitheroe deserve a mention. Young team and frightening pace, which teams like Northwich and Scarborough have discovered so far.
And that's the beauty of this show, because he's mentioned them, there's your mention, Clitheroe.
And then we had one on Twitter. Drawsden have shocked me so far, being so bad. Witton has as well. However, shocked by Bursker coming up the league. That's from Andrew Glinker, who's a Trafford fan. And then finally, you might have heard him at the end of the second half. People want the cat to become a regular on this show, by the way.
How do people on Facebook know about the cat?
Might have been
sorry.
Well done.
Hey?
Oh, there we go. Him and his magical. Oh, that's a video.
To the point where Mr. Robson Matthew Jones wishes to know what's the cat's thoughts on this division this year.
Wow. So, right.
Thank you. And well done to James Milne, who is a Mosley AFC fan, who's the first person to hit the crossbar in the NPL.
Oh, I saw that, yeah.
No, he's not. Someone at Sheffield hit it.
Officially.
Someone at Sheffield hit it.
Yeah.
Someone at Sheffield hit it.
Someone at Sheffield hit it.
I like the way you did that, McKenna. McKenna went. You're not him, you know. You're not that McKenna. Under my spell.
And that concludes this month's EvoStick NPL show, sponsored by EvoStick for the month of September. Boom!
What, just for the month of September?
Round the table, we've had Swamper from Five Live and the FC United radio station.
In many ways, Ben, yes? I'd like not to put my name to this show. However,
he's a changed man, everyone.
I know,
he's sober.
I know most months I'm probably as bad as this lot, but believe you me, I've come to realise how a professional crew really do act when it comes to football.
Do you never listen back to it?
Yeah, it sounds a lot better, doesn't it?
5 hours that takes. Not joking. 5 hours of listening, of going, I hate Swamper. 5 hours. Ian Burke from Radio Manchester and 26-0.
Hiya, Ben.
Occasionally Five Live.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group, which you can get involved with at
facebook.com/groups/NPL. On Twitter at the NPL group and periodically on Periscope.
And Alex McKenna.
Hello.
Wherever you're from nowadays, thank you. And Stuart James from the Non-League Review and Stockport County and other places where you can find him. Alty too, occasionally.
Occasionally. I get around.
Yeah. He's been here too, thank you.
Tell you what, Ben. Thank you, Ben.
Yes.
Thank you.
But from everyone here at The Magnet here in Stockport, for another month, you take care and have fun and enjoy yourselves at EvoStick NPL matches this week. And this month.
Oh, that's very nice of
you. You said that angrily.
No. It's just my little gravelly thing that I'm working on.
I wish you said that 7 o'clock.
The EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
On a serious note, actually, it's in regards to Jordan Burndred.
He's the young lad who was in the Leake Town Academy, and yes, he's had a heart attack, a cardiac arrest, whilst over in Turkey. And obviously he's fighting for his life. I know there's been a fun setup, hasn't there, Ben, for the family. I think £2,000 been donated already. And obviously, you know, from the NPL perspective, because he's part of the NPL Academy as well. So, you know, we've got to, from an NPL perspective, wish him all the very best and his family all the very best. And, you know, if you want to donate any money towards this fund, that's supposed to go onto the NPL website and have a look at that, how you can donate, because obviously, you know, a young kid, cardiac arrest is 17 years of age.
So awful.
Just thought I wanted to mention that, really, because it's, you know, we are a footballing family, and it's very important that we all get behind him and his family.
Yeah.